All right, grab your Bibles. We are in the Beatitudes. Be this way, okay? These are blessed attitudes, and we're in verse 9 of chapter 5 there. So if you want to turn over there to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, this is a very important beatitude for us. So, shalom. Quiet, right? Peace. That's what y'all say with the grandchildren, right? Shh, peace, peace. Because the world ain't full of peace, amen? Did you know in 3,421 years of recorded history, there's only been 268 of those where there's been no noted war anywhere on the globe? And that's between nation and nation, or power and powerful state, or governing authorities. But it's a constant reality in life. I mean, even right now, I mean, they're worried about the war in the Middle East, right? And the war in Ukraine. And is China going to attack Taiwan at some point? What about on the African continent, right? We just got through with quick work there in Venezuela. But, you know, the war isn't just between nations. There's battles that rage between political parties, right? We've seen plenty of that. Wars that take place in corporations. Did you know even the wars take place in churches? Can you believe that? God's people wouldn't do that, would they? Wars take place between individuals in a home and everywhere you look. Strife, quarrel, struggles, battles, conflict. That's not peace. And yet that's what God wants. In fact, you realize that's how God designed us? That was the first thing man was to experience, was shalom. Peace. Peace with God. God had made everything. The first thing he wanted man to experience with him was rest and peace. And you won't find peace and rest until you're right with God. This is the simple truth. And it only makes sense that, you know, we as those who are his children, we would be pursuing that peace, desiring that peace. It's possible for us. We realize, listen, it's not just an external thing, right, between individuals. There's also a sense of an internal peace, right? A peace that I have in my troubled heart, in my troubled life, when I can just be at peace and have the assurance that my God knows, my God's in control, my God is at work. And when you have this perspective that this is who we should be, what we should be like, that means it can be crazy all around us, and yet we can still find peace. There can be situations that may be causing that turmoil. We can still pursue peace. And so this attitude is really an attitude of our hearts. In fact, at the end, I'll show you how it's related to every beatitude that's led up to this. They're all systematically written in this way, I think, for help us to realize you can't get to this one if you haven't met all the requirements of the ones previous to this. Being a peacemaker. Now, notice what it says. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's a compound word. We understand the peace part, right? The absence of hostilities. Calm, serene feeling. We want that. But it's more than just what, you know, some hippie, some beatnik would say, peace, man. It's more than that, right? It's a sense, listen, of wholeness, oneness. The overall well-being, I want peace. But now when there's contention, when there's strife between individuals, that doesn't bring wholeness. That brings no peace. But you and I should be doing something to achieve this peace. Not waiting for it to happen, but making it happen. It doesn't say peace waiters, peacemakers. That's what we don't sit idly by waiting. Well, God's going to fix it. No, you and I might be the instrument to make it happen if we embrace the opportunity to do that. It's not something passive, right? It's active. We go and pursue it. It flows out of our lives. Why? Well, it flows out of our lives because we should be the ones who've experienced now being made right with God. Making peace with him. And realizing oftentimes the peace that happens in struggles and relationships because people aren't right with God themselves. Because if they were, they would be pursuing peace. Oh, amen, sister. Thank you, Gracie. Amen. Listen, out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Amen. Listen, peacemaking is not, well, let's just be tolerant. Okay? You do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll just have peace. No. It's not avoiding what has to be confronted. That's not peace. Now, of course, that doesn't mean we want to be quarrelsome, right? The Proverbs are clear on that. If you don't, it's honorable. I have to remind my children at times, I recall. It's honorable to avoid strife, right? As the proverb says. Because if you don't, it's like a dam letting loose and all the destruction that comes with it. Being a peacemaker is also not being an appeaser. You know, peace at any price, whatever we got to do. Just putting off the conflict, putting it off, putting it off. They tried that in the 1930s with this bully. Seemingly didn't work. Appease him, just appease him, just appease him, just appease him a little longer. Started a world war. You can't appease a bully because they'll just keep bullying. So what is it, this making of peace? Well, here's the amazing thing. It's only possible for those that have admitted that they're actually broken, and they need God to make them whole. Then they have an understanding for why they should be pursuing peace, making other things whole and right. When you understand, I'm one who stands in need of mercy, so I can show mercy, which might lend itself to peace. I mean, we just prayed that we'd hunger and thirst for righteousness, the righteousness of God's kingdom, the righteousness, listen, that's only made when we have surrendered and bent our knee before the King who reigns in righteousness on his throne. And we realize we need him in this situation to be who he is, not just the King of righteousness, but he's also the Prince of Peace. You see, if we're honest about ourselves and honest about our relationship with God, then those that are made in his image, because I'm right with him, I'll know how to relate to them. They're made in his image, just as you and I are. And so we have to begin with ourselves. Am I at peace with God? In fact, what's fascinating, you realize if there's a problem that you recognize in someone else, Jesus would say later in this sermon, listen, before you and I go, get the little speck of dust out of their eye. What do you got to do to yourself? Get the log out of your eye. Just imagine a great big telephone pole in your eye as Jesus tells that instruction there. Get that out before you try to pluck out the little piece of dust. That's why it calls for humility. It calls for us being looking in the mirror of God's word, and making sure, am I right first? Is my heart right? Am I painfully honest with myself about my peace with God? Because if I'm full of angst and I'm not right with him, it's going to be very hard for me to pursue peace with others. But man, this is what we should do. Now this speaks to real life. Everybody in this room, just stop and think. Is there right now tension with someone, right? I'm not at peace with someone. It could be in our house. It could be at work today. Man, you got to go back there tomorrow, right? Hopefully not the preacher. I'm here. Stay. I'll be after. I'll be at the door later. Okay? Don't go out the side door. Come see me. All right? If I've done something wrong, I want to get it right. I don't want to. Who wants to live that way? But we are really good at taking putty and just trying to fill in the cracks, right? Just avoid it. Let's cover it up. Sweep it under the rug. It just makes a bigger mess. At some point, it's going to have to be dealt with. And so if I'm going to be a peacemaker, it's possible that addressing a conflict, there might be some pain in it, some difficulty in it. But this is what we're called to do, because we represent the one who alone can establish peace, who alone has made it possible for us to have peace with God, who alone can bring reconciliation, can bring healing. The one who, listen, all that he endured and experienced on the cross was so that we could be made right with God, no longer separated from him. Don't embrace the temptation to just let things slide. Pray about it. Paul would say this over and over again in the epistles. Of course, the epistles take Jesus' instruction and Jesus' example and then just make it just like a flower that blossoms and opens up more and more and more, and you see more petals and you see the beauty of it. Paul would say over in Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity in the church there, the common confession that we have as he speaks about the one faith that we share, the one Lord, the one baptism, all those things. That unity that we have centered on Christ, man, everything within you and with me should, I want the unity of the Spirit, and the way I do that is having peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, if you got an issue, so I'm so grateful. Someone had a misunderstanding from the business meeting on Sunday, and you know what? We just sat down for an hour and talked through it so that they could have a peace. I want that. I don't want you to be in angst. As your shepherd, I don't want that. Don't just carry it around with you. Man, that's just baggage, y'all. You carry that around all the time. Well, I ain't going to deal with it. You're just carrying it around. I ain't going to deal with it. Deal with it. Find someone who can help you make that peace. Find that peace. Paul would say, listen, in fact, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with who? Everyone. That's everybody, y'all. Everyone. As much as it depends on you, they may not want that. Doesn't matter. My responsibility, your responsibility, pursue peace. Keep the door open for reconciliation. Keep the door open for things to be made right. Now, how is that possible, Pastor Chris? Well, it's only going to be effective if the Spirit of peace dwells within you and dwells within me. It's only going to be possible if I have made peace with God. We pursue this. This is the one we represent. We're his ambassadors. Now, here's what I know as I pursue peace. Many years ago, we went through the book Peacemaker. If you've never read that, it's a wonderful book to read. Because do you realize even in Headwaters, and it's important to teach children this, to be peacemakers. We did that 3 years ago. Walking through how to be not peace fakers, not peace breakers, but to be peacemakers. Right? Peace fakers, oh yeah, we're happy. Don't be a peace faker. Don't be a peace breaker. Be a peace maker. And one of the things you learn in that study is one, there's one God. If every party will agree to these things, these simple principles, ready, here he is. There's one God who's in control. Yeah, he's in control of this whole situation. He has allowed things to happen for a reason. And see, here's the thing. That God, he works, the power, has the power to work all things together for good, a good outcome. That isn't just, listen, the goodness that you might experience one with another. It's others who will experience the goodness as a result of the peace being made. Or maybe someone who sees that and has seen you in all, just all tore up, and sees a transformation in your life and goes, man, what's happened to you? I want some of that goodness. Yeah. And know that God is able to work things together, the power to do that. And if everyone comes at least with those basic theological thoughts and understandings, not just in their head, but in their heart, and is willing to pursue peace, then praise God, in humility, you can experience it. That's what we want. We're peacemakers because there's one who made peace, right? The supreme peacemaker, the glorious Prince of Peace, prophesied by Isaiah, the one who has now made peace with us, with God. Why? Because God was well pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, so that, what? By making peace through his blood, shed on the cross, Paul would say in Colossians. Praise the Lord, God saw the gravity of the problem between us and him. He sent his son to make peace. In fact, what's fascinating, he would say, even between Jew and Gentile, they didn't like one another. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that Christ, he came, for he himself is our peace, who's made the two one, destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing in his flesh the law and its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. Pretty amazing, God's plan. Even between Jew and Gentile, to destroy those barriers, that wall of hostility that divided all of mankind into those two groups, and now to make one. Paul would say there, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Why? Because the Prince of Peace wants everyone to experience peace. It's how he designed mankind, Genesis chapter 1. That's what God wanted man to enjoy with him. That's what we want. You got to be willing to lower yourself, though. You got to be willing to recognize, you know what? I'm broken. Only God can make me whole, and only God can make this situation whole. I need the enabling power of the Spirit of God. And when you acknowledge that and recognize that, then God can begin to work. Now, why is it a peacemaker? This is important. Again, we don't want to be troublemakers, right? If you're not making peace, then you're making division, right? Now who is the one who divides? Who is the one that wants disunity, right? The devil. And the accuser of the brethren. I mean, if there's anything that God doesn't like, I mean, he mentions that, right? He doesn't like that. Discord. It's not a reflection of oneness, which is three persons in oneness. God wants us to have unity, unity of his spirit. But the devil, of course, he doesn't want to us to experience that unity. He wants to divide, and then he can destroy, and he can eliminate peace and have us troubled all our lives. And so if I have a propensity to constantly be causing discontent, right? If I am inclined to be omnicritical, right? Rather than building up and lifting up, I'm just fault-finding. I may not even realize I'm a pawn for Satan in some things, right? Not building up, encouraging. This is not the beatitude. Notice those that are peacemakers, it says they shall be called the sons of God. We're his children. I mean, this is what we read earlier, when we came in, when Jesus said, you've heard it said, right? Love your Where is it here? You've heard it said, we read it when I came in, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and even those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. I mean, he just reiterates it. If we're the children of God, if you and I are authentically the children of God, and I'm not actively pursuing unity and peace, but I'm disrupting things and I'm stirring things up, I need to honestly look in the mirror and ask myself, am I really a child of God? That's Jesus' words, not mine, right? Am I doing everything within me to pursue peace, right? Listen, God, remove from me discord, remove dissension, remove factions, right? Remove that. I don't want that. That's not, I don't want to be my ethos of who I am, my character, my essence, my being. Now, this is only possible. I said, notice this is the last one. Next week, it moves to the persecution. And it's the final one of these listed here. But notice, you can't be a peacemaker. Let's go back to the top. Unless I'm broken and I'm poor in spirit, right? You've got to experience a poverty of spirit. Otherwise, you know what? You and I won't be humble enough to go say, hey, have I hurt you in some way? Is there something that I'm unaware of that I need to make right? Why? Because I'm not broken. Or even I'm not even mourning over my sin. Beatitude number 2. I haven't come face to face with my own sin. And I don't mourn over it because I don't want to acknowledge it. I'm proud, right? Oof, that's the third one, right? Not pride, meekness, right? The authenticity of my poverty of spirit and my mourning over my sin is there's a gentleness about me, a humility in the way I want to deal with others because I realize I may have been wrong. I need to own that. And then because I hunger and thirst for righteousness, I want things made right. Not just right with God. I want things made right with everybody else. Remember, he has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you to do justly or do righteously, right? To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If I'm not merciful, right? If I don't realize how much I need mercy, I might be disinclined to give it away. But that I do give it away is a sign I have experienced the mercy of God. And now, you know what? I've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and I want my life to be pure. I don't want there to be anything that taints my life, stains my life. And that often happens in relationships when we don't make things right. And so as I have an ongoing vision of God, I see God now. I see who he is. I see what type of person I should be. I'm going to pursue that. And because of that, the Spirit of God dwells within me, a spirit of peace. And I'm going to pursue peace at all costs. This is the character of the kingdom, peacemakers, because we represent him, y'all. And so let that be true of us tonight. Amen. Now, as our heads are bowed, I'm just going to ask you to be honest with yourself, all right? You could say, well, I'm waiting for them to come and apologize to me. Don't wait. They may be totally oblivious to it, okay? But even now, maybe there's someone you just say, Lord, search me, try me, know me. Is there something that I need to make right with someone? And if it is, Father, reveal that to me tonight. Reveal that.